Well, turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We took a break last week for our anniversary, but we've been looking at this passage, and it is it's a discourse that Paul is having by inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 about the gifts and the workings of the Holy Spirit. And he gives us a wonderful, really kind of a purpose statement of this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. And he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Another translation says, "I want you to be informed." And so he takes quite a lengthy time to inform us and to give us insight from God about these spiritual gifts. Now, we also took time to realize, and in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it states the purpose of these gifts. And the purpose of these gifts, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And as we see these gifts, and we're going to begin this Sunday to look at them individually, we'll see that they are wonderful. They are supernatural. They are, we see examples of them in the Word of God. And what we see is that they are there to help people. And all of us were created in the image of God. And because of that, even people that don't know God or that don't have the life of God, they are still fearfully and wonderfully made. And there is a good chance that they can do some good things down on the earth. But all of us realize that our natural human ability is limited. And we need God. And God is a supernatural God. And some of the ways that he works is that he works in ways that are not humanly natural, because he's God and he can do those things. All right. So in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8, we're going to look at this first gift today. It says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit." Now, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that the definition of a word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts that are in the future that are in the mind of God. All right. So you and I, obviously, we have this incredible human limitation, is that we've only lived up to right now. We've never lived into the future. Okay. But the Bible says that God sees the end from the beginning. The theological term is that he is omniscient, all right, is that he knows all. How many of you realize that you know limited knowledge, all right? God is omniscient. We are omni-nothing, okay? That's what makes him God. So, but notice in that, it says that God gives a word of wisdom. Now, when you think of a sentence or a paragraph or a book, a word is just a fragment, isn't it? Okay, it's not the whole picture. It is simply that. It is a word. So what God does by the Holy Spirit is, and we'll see lots of biblical examples for this, is he gives us a word, a fragment about the future, because it is going to help us. Okay, and we'll see the examples from God's word of how that is a help in people's lives. Okay, now, I want us to make sure that we're not confused, because in Proverbs, it talks about gaining wisdom. In James 1:5, it says, if there's any of us that lack wisdom, that we can ask of God, and he will give, that he will without reproach give to us liberally. Okay? So that's talking about biblical insight. It's talking about how to apply knowledge in our life of being a wise person. And that's really what Proverbs says a wise person is a wise person. It starts with fearing the Lord, that is considering his perspective under his, submitting to his authority and to his word. And so God will help us to be wise. Okay. But the word of wisdom is not that. All right. It's not that you're smart or you get a word of wisdom when you're taking an exam. Okay. God, give me a word of wisdom. I forgot to study about trigonometry. Okay. No, what it is it's God knows something about the future, and then he chooses by the Spirit of God to let us in on what he knows. Now, in James 1:5, it talks about, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, right? So that is available to all, all right? The word of wisdom in 1 Corinthians 12:8, it says this. It says, to one is given the word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge. All right. So this means, and at the end of that passage, it says that God gives these and distributes them as he wills. Okay. James 1:5, we can receive that type of wisdom by faith, by trusting God. This insight about something in the mind of God about the future is as the Spirit wills. Okay, and as God determines. But we certainly should be open to that and be aware of that. Okay, and the Bible says a couple times in this 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 to earnestly desire these gifts to be in operation. All right, so let's look at some examples from the Word about when the Word of wisdom was in operation among men. All right, in Acts 21, one of the things that we see from the life of Paul is that Paul, he was a very dedicated guy, but he faced a lot of opposition in his ministry, and even to the point of people trying to kill him, beat him, throwing him out of town, okay? And thankfully, it never stopped him. Acts 21 in verse 10, it says, as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now notice, this is not Agabus giving advice. All right. This is not Agabus saying, hey, Paul, I just want to share something with you. Okay. This he is saying by the Holy Spirit. Thus says the Holy Spirit. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. All right. How does Agabus know that? All right. By the Holy Spirit. To one, by the Spirit, is given a word of wisdom. Insight into the mind of God about something in the future. Okay. And so this was, and the Bible, and we see two instances of Agabus being used by God. He's standing in the ministry gift of a prophet, all right? One of the five different ministry gifts that are listed in Ephesians chapter 4, all right? So many times in the ministry of a prophet, these revelational gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, they will be operation in their ministry, all right? Now, what's interesting about the New Testament and even the ministry of the prophet in the New Testament is that God now has access to every one of us as believers because of the Holy Spirit who resides and lives on the inside of us. All right. And so what we see in the New Testament is that many times the ministry of a prophet is not directional. It is confirmational. All right. So God's already been showing. God's already been dealing. Look backwards in Acts chapter 20. All right. So this happened with Agabus and Paul. This word of wisdom. But in Acts chapter 20, Paul is having a pastor's conference. The elders from Ephesus came, and some wonderful teaching that's there in Acts chapter 20. And a portion of it, he says, in verse 22, he says, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. All right. So does he know the whole picture? No. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, all right, where he had been traveling. The Holy Spirit was saying this, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Okay. So when Agabus said that a chapter later, was that news to Paul? No. It was confirmation to Paul. Because the Holy Spirit had already been saying through the word of wisdom about the future that chains and tribulations await you in Jerusalem. All right. So what we see from this case is that Paul was not to run away from this trouble. okay? That God was going to sustain him. God was going to give him the grace to make it through it, okay? But God was warning him, when you get there, there's going to be trouble, okay? Now, thank God that God spoke in those different cities. God spoke through Agabus, the prophet. But look at Acts chapter 9, all right? And we'll see that God used someone other than a prophet in the word of wisdom, okay? And also the word of knowledge. Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. Now, Paul, at this point, he is still Saul of Tarsus. God changed his name, but he had been knocked off of his horse. Jesus spoke to him, but that light blinded him. All right, verse 10, it says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. All right, now notice in Acts 10, or verse 10, it says, he is a disciple. All right, Acts 21, Agabus was a prophet. Okay, this is a disciple. All right, not someone that's standing in a ministry gift or a ministry office. Okay, he's not on TV. All right, he's not famous. He is a disciple. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a disciple. Okay. All right. So the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said to him, here am I, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Now, this is actually a word of knowledge. That is something about the present. It's not necessarily about the future, but Saul is at a street called Straight, and I'm instructing you what to do. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Isn't it interesting that he is having an open vision of Jesus Christ and he's arguing with him? Or perhaps he's informing him. Jesus, I'm not sure if you knew this, but I've heard some things about this Saul guy. I know, I find that funny. Aren't you glad God can handle us? Okay, verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Had that happened yet? No. It's going to happen. This is a word of wisdom. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias was given something from the mind of God about Paul's calling, about his assignment, where he would go, and what he would suffer. Okay? So here we see the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge operating through a disciple. And there are other instances in the book of Acts that we'll see in weeks to come. And what I want to encourage you is that the gifts of the Spirit are for you. All right? They're not just for a select few. But God wants to, He wants to work in your life. You need to be open and available that if God wants to instruct you or reveal something to you through these gifts, but also he can instruct others through you that he would communicate. All right. So in the Old Testament, there were also many instances of this happening. If we remember Noah, all right, God showed Noah that a flood was coming. Hadn't happened yet, right? In fact, it was so amazing. Rain had not even fallen on the earth at that point. Okay. And yet God showed him about the future so that he could do something. Now, could he stop the flood? No. But he could prepare and get ready for the flood. Okay? So God let him know about the future so that Noah could do something. And here's what I want to encourage you. What I see from the Word of God is that God never gives a word of wisdom to tickle our ears. Who's going to win on Friday? Zambia or Ghana? Maybe we should let what was it, last World Cup? There was the octopus that predicted all those games, you know? See, it's not just to tickle our ears or to say, ooh, wow. No, there's a godly thing going on here. Something that we need to know about. All right. Something that's coming, or what we're going to see is many, many times God shows us so that we can take action because something can change. Okay. All right. So Noah, God showed him about the future. That's a word of wisdom. Okay. Now, what we see in the word is that God communicates this word of wisdom in a variety of ways. Joseph in the Old Testament, he had a dream about his future. He had a dream about how God was going to use him and that one day his brothers would actually bow down to him. He shared that dream with his brothers and they didn't take it too well. And then they tried to kill him for that. Okay. Moses, God said, I'm going to take my children of Israel from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan. And God was speaking audibly. That is, he could hear it with his natural ears. He was speaking through a burning bush. All right. So that was another way that God communicated a word of wisdom to people. Many times it does happen through an utterance. That is, through a prophecy or tongues, an interpretation of tongues. Okay. That there, it gives voice to something. Okay. So here's what I want to encourage you. Don't tell God how he's going to communicate to you. Okay. I'm kind of a vision guy. Well, I'm glad Moses didn't tell God that because he was a burning bush guy. Okay. And here's just a thought. And many times in the Old Testament, God communicated very spectacularly. Okay. From a mountain, from the sky, from these things, because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. All right. And he didn't come to indwell our hearts yet. In the New Testament, many times when you see God communicating supernaturally, or let me say spectacularly, through an angel, through a vision, something like that, there's usually one of two things that are happening at that time. Number one, that person is in pretty bad disobedience. They're not listening to God. Or secondly, there's a whole lot of trouble coming. And God wants to communicate this in a more spectacular way. So, if it's been a few years since Jesus came and walked into your room and spoke to you about the future, take that as a good thing. All right? Maybe you're not in disobedience, and maybe there's a lot of trouble coming your way. All right? But what we must do is we will allow God to speak to us. That's his job. Our job is to hear and to obey. Right? How he speaks is up to him. This word of wisdom is delivered in a variety of channels that God has at his disposal. All right. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And I want us to take some time here and I want us to look at some examples from the word that many times in the Bible, when God began to show people about the future, there were a few things that happened. One was, God showed them something about the future so that they could act. Okay? Again, it wasn't just kind of like trivia about the future. Or just to say, oh, isn't that interesting? No, it was because God wanted them to take action. Another thing we'll see is that God showed them something about the future so that they could take action and they could actually change the future. It was rewritten. Okay, and we'll see some examples of that. All right, in Matthew chapter 2, Jesus has been born. All right, and the birth of Jesus has happened. The wise men are there. And there's going to be two supernatural encounters that Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, has. Matthew 2, verse 12. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Okay. Divinely warned in a dream. Okay. So how many of you know that was what God did for Joseph, correct? So God did something very supernatural, but the rest of the verse, look at this. They departed for their own country another way. That's very natural. Okay. Notice, well, let me ask you this question. If God wanted to just snatch Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, and just go, and take them to Egypt. Could God have done that? Is that within his power? Okay, we see a couple of times in the Bible he actually did that. All right. But what does he do? He instructed them, and then they did the walking. They did the obedience. All right. And our entire life with God is a faith and obedience journey. God says, and we follow. We believe and we act upon what he said. All right. So thankfully, Joseph listened. They're going another way. Verse 13. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord. Okay, not a dream, but an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Okay, so this is a combo here. Saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Herod will seek. What is that? It's the future, isn't it? It's in the mind of God. God knows what's in the mind and in the heart of Herod. Okay? So he's letting them, he's giving them a word. Notice he doesn't download all of Herod's crazy brain. All right? But he gives them a word. He lets them know something so that they can act. Verse 14. When he arose, he took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. I believe, and obviously we hear a lot about Mary, and we should, and her faith and her obedience to the Lord. But I tell you, I believe God also chose Joseph to be Jesus' stepdad because Joseph was a man of obedience. When God said something, he did it. He was a man of honor. You remember when Mary was pregnant and he said he was going to put her away silently because he didn't want to create a huge stink for her life? Okay, but when God said, don't worry, Joseph, that child is by the Holy Spirit. That's interesting. She should be your wife. What did he say? Yes, sir. At your service. Everywhere, this guy's obedient. And I believe that's one of the reasons why God picked him. All right, now, what if he was supernaturally warned and he decided, I don't want to go on an extended holiday to Egypt. I'm a carpenter. I've got orders that are on my desk. What if he reasoned in his mind and he disobeyed the Lord? Well, the rest of that chapter may be that, you know, Herod's people grabbed Mary and Jesus and Joseph was killed and supernaturally Jesus was delivered, right? Because of his disobedience, all right? So here we see a biblical example of the word of knowledge, okay? Now, think about it this way. A word of knowledge is like, in a sense, God's radar system. Where I grew up in the States, there are all kinds of different weather patterns. And typically, where I grew up, the weather came from the west and it went to the east. So if you saw what the weather was in the west, you would realize, okay, it's heading your way. Probably those of you watching CNN, BBC, every year around this time, there are tornadoes that off the west coast of Africa and they head to the Caribbean. And there's many times there's tragedy in Haiti and Florida and where my mom lives in New Orleans. Okay. But the cool thing is they can track these storms and they see them growing and they know how big they are and they know how much damage that can occur. A number of years ago when Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans, where my mom lives, she called me. She knew it was coming. And so she went to some friends that were, 300 kilometers away. And when the storm hit, she wasn't there. Why? Because she was warned. She knew it was coming and she took action. It's a shame that other people knew that it was coming and didn't take action. All right. And you know, the government didn't have the power to just grab them and put them in a bus. All they could do was warn them. And many, many people didn't heed the warning. Okay. And I'm so glad that my mom is smart and listened. Okay. Because here's the thing. You know, you can, if you're not watching, if you're not listening, something can hit you and you can say, well, where's God? God was on the radio 2 days ago telling you to get out. That was God. That was God. And he does this so many times in his word. Okay. Let's look at another example. 2 Kings chapter 20. And Israel and Judah had a long history of kings, and this was one of the good ones. He, unfortunately, was in the minority, but he was one of the good kings. 2 Kings 20 and verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord." Okay, now again, right, this isn't Isaiah just coming for chit-chat just to say hi. He's coming with a message from God. "Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Aren't you glad we got that clarifying statement at the end? You shall die, and that means you're not going to live. Okay. In case those of us that are slow. Okay. So what did God say? You shall die. Set your house in order. Get things together. Verse 2. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Now, who was he talking to? He was talking to the Lord, wasn't he? Verse 4. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, that the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." All right? So God had said, "You're going to die." Hezekiah took action, and God responded to what was going on the earth and said, "You've got 15 more years." Do you see this? Okay. That's why what I see from the word is that it is very unbiblical for us to think or to tell other people. And I know sometimes we just say this, we're trying to be comforting when someone passes away and we say, "Well, I guess it was their time." What do you mean it was their time? He sought the Lord and his time got extended. Proverbs says that if you follow the wisdom that's in this book, length of days will be added to you. All right. The foolish man, his life will be cut short. All right. And we see examples of that all the time down here, don't we? People, and of course, not all death is because of foolishness, of course. All right. But don't think that, you know, God's just waiting for your number to come up in heaven. Oh, it's your day. Bye bye. Okay. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. And people sometimes misquote and they say this, "Well, it's a, you know, we've got an appointment." No, it's appointed for everyone to die. The appointment is with death. The date is largely determined by you. It is largely determined by you. Now, there is an appointment. Hezekiah got his extended because of his humility and him looking to the Lord. Do you see that? All right. So let's look at another example here. Jonah. All right. So Jonah, God gave Jonah supernatural wisdom about the future. He gave him this insight that Nineveh is messed up and I'm going to be judging that city. Okay, very similar to what God showed Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah, correct? Okay. Now with Jonah, God said, "I want you to go and warn them. I want you to go and preach to them." And Jonah didn't like Nineveh. Jonah, it's kind of funny that God picked someone to go save Nineveh, and that guy had genocide in his heart. I don't even want to give them the message because I want them to get destroyed. And later when they repent and judgment is averted, he's mad. How many know God can use you? All right. So In Jonah chapter 3, and I want you to hear, this is a very amazing statement here. Jonah chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Tell your neighbor, the second time. Okay. You know where it went the first time? Was Jonah chapter 1. Okay. In Jonah chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to him and said, here's the assignment. The reason why we are in Jonah chapter 3 is because of Jonah's disobedience, because of the hardness of his heart. And I believe some of you in this building, you are in Jonah chapter 3 and you should have been in Jonah chapter 1. You've taken the long route to God's plan. And the fact is, that's where you are. Stop taking the long route. Stop running away from God. Stop resisting him when he talks to you. Because how many of you know when Jonah was in the belly of the whale, that couldn't have been a pleasant experience. Jonah had to put all those people on the ship through all those problems because of his disobedience. Folks, let's skip all the tragedy of Jonah 1 and 2. And let's just take Jonah 3 and bring it up to Jonah chapter 1. Amen? Obey God quickly and do what he says. How many extra chapters of your life have been written that weren't necessary, that weren't needed? Okay? Talk to the Lord and say this, Lord, I want to take the straightest line to your will. Amen? The straightest line to your will. All right. Jonah chapter 3, the word of the Lord comes to him. Verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach it the message that I will tell you. Okay, so what's the message? The message is going to come from God. So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, okay, now what is he going to be saying? The message from the Lord, correct? He said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Where did that message come from? Came from the Lord. What was it? It was a word of wisdom. It was something in the mind of God about the future. In 40 days, this city is going to be destroyed. Okay? Verse 5. So the people. Everybody say, so the people. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away his fierce anger so that we may not perish? All right. So God said to Nineveh through Jonah, in 40 days, this city's going to be finished. Okay. The people heard. The Bible says the people believed. And then based on their beliefs, they began to act, correct? Look at verse 10. This is an amazing statement here. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. What caused God to relent? What caused a change of plan in heaven? Earth. Earth caused a change of plan in heaven. They believed and they acted and God saw it. And based on what he saw, he said, all right, I've got another plan. Do you see this, folks? See, we must understand that we are in partnership with God. There are a lot of folks that live their Christian life really no different from a Muslim. Everything that happens in a Muslim's life, when it happens after the fact, they say, let the will of Allah be done. Everything that happens must have come from Allah. Okay? What we see in the Bible is, yes, God has a plan. And it is a sovereign plan. That is, it came from Him. Okay? But we work with His plan. We believe His plan. Or we disobey His plan. And based on what we do, God responds to what's going on down here on the earth, folks. And it's from cover to cover in the Bible. Amen. And there's so many folks that just live a fatalistic life and think they're being biblical. You lose your job. Well, everything happens for a reason. You know, you can talk to the HR department and they'll give you the reason why it happened. It was you. Okay? So God's will, God's plan was changed through human obedience. Through human response to His directive. Okay? It was not set in stone. Do you see that? All right, now, God gave the word of wisdom. And wouldn't it have been interesting if the people of Nineveh, so they hear the message, in 40 days, this place will be destroyed. Oh, yeah, sure. Well, what would have happened? It would have been destroyed. The rest of the book of Jonah was not written by God. It was written by God and the people of Nineveh together, making a new future. Turn to Acts chapter 27. Now, most of these that we've been seeing, they have a happy ending, right? And there's some, most of the time, people are listening to God. And Joseph went to Egypt. And Joseph in the Old Testament interpreted the dream. And they saved the money and the crops. And good things happened. All right? But here's one that didn't happen. Acts 27. So Paul is boarding a boat. And this boat needs to take him to do the will of God. Acts 27, verse 9. Now, when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo in the ship, but also our lives." Paul says, "I perceive." Where'd that perception come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. All right? It came from God speaking to him. Verse 11, "Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul." And obviously, it was Paul was the messenger, but it was from the Holy Spirit, a word of wisdom. Isn't that a sad statement? The centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship. He was listening to people more than he was listening to God. There was probably a financial factor involved here too, wasn't there? The owner, "Hey, we've got to get this going. We've got to get these things to the dock, and I've got to pay these bills," right? And so there was this pressure on him. Verse 12, and then it gets worse. "And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there." The majority. In this instance, the majority was wrong. If you take the consensus of bad people, you're going to get a bad decision. The consensus of the ungodly is ungodly. Look at just real quick before we finish over here, but turn over to Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. It doesn't just say, "Blessed is the man who got a decree that 2013 shall be blessed." It's conditional. Do you see this? The counsel of the ungodly. I want to say this as politely as I possibly can. Okay? And I hear people say this quite a lot sometimes. "Well, the family has decided." Okay? You love your family. I love my family. What is the godliness factor of your family? What is the Bible values of your family? Okay? And I don't know about your minds, mine's a bit of a mixed bag. Okay? And we've got some godly and some ungodly. Right? And I don't know 100% of your family. All right? But you are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, whoever those ungodly may be. Whatever their name is. And how do we know it's ungodly? You judge it with the word of God. You judge it with the word of God. Well, honey, you know, you're 37 and the biological clock is ticking. And we certainly would like for you to have some babies. And, you know, I know this guy doesn't love the Lord and he's Muslim, but, you know, hey, go ahead. The family has spoken. The family has decided. And with all the politeness you can muster, you just say, I'm going to obey God rather than man. Grandma, auntie. Because it's ungodly. It is ungodly. All right. This guy, this captain of the ship, he was being pressured here. He was being pressured there. The consensus of the majority said, let's go. And they were all wrong. They were all wrong. Because the Holy Ghost had spoken through Paul. Okay. And it doesn't get any better than this, all right? They go, all of the cargo that the owner of the ship was concerned about ended up at the bottom of the ocean. And what he was trying to protect, he lost. Why? Because they didn't heed what God said. They didn't listen to God speaking about the future. They didn't discern. Now, this Paul guy, he knows what he's talking about. All right, now, God had mercy on them because what Paul perceived is we're all going to die. An angel of the Lord said, go tell those guys to cheer up because it's a good thing they're traveling with you because I've got to get you to the king and you're not going to die. So all these other guys are not going to die. So Paul went out there and he said, hey, cheer up. Right in the middle of a storm, people are heaving. People haven't eaten for days. All the cargo's on the ocean. He says, cheer up. And I like Paul. Here's what he says. You should have listened to me. How many of you know we need more Pauls in our life? Okay, he took it as a teaching moment. All right. So, but the problem with that captain was he was living and thinking in the natural realm. Okay. Here the advice, all this is what I think we should do. It was all natural. And many times, thank God for the natural, right? But there are times where God wants to bring in supernatural insight and help to us. And all that was lost was avoidable. What Paul didn't get up and say on that day was, well, I guess the Lord's trying to teach us a lesson. The will of the Lord be done. He didn't say that. He said, you guys should have listened to me. This didn't need to happen. This wasn't the will of God. Okay? Because God was warning. God was showing. Now, the other thing we need to do is if God speaks supernaturally, all right, we need to always filter what we hear through good biblical theology. Okay? Because sometimes when God speaks through a person, sometimes that person adds their own seasoning to it. Or the Lord finishes talking and they keep talking for another two paragraphs. Thus saith the Lord. And God said, I'm done. And they just carry on. All right. So we need to interpret things through good theology. Okay. When we were traveling with Ed Elliott doing crusades, there was a lady in Mozambique, and at the end of crusades, people would come and testify what God had done in their life, and it was very encouraging to people, and people would give their hearts to the Lord. And this certain night, this lady somehow got on stage, and she probably shouldn't have been given this testimony, but she got up and she testified. She said, she greeted the crowd, hallelujah, of course the crowd, hallelujah, and she said, 2 nights ago, in a dream, I had a vision that the boys came into my house and they stole my radio. Hallelujah. And so last night I went to the crusade and I went home. I got home and my radio was gone. Hallelujah. We always referred to her as Vision Mama. But the fact is, if she would have taken what she had seen through theology, that God does, and Jesus, I did not come to steal, kill, and destroy. That is not my will. Okay? She would have taken a radio and gone to the crusade with a radio. Or given it to her uncle who has a house that's more lockable than hers is, right? God was showing her something about the future so the future could be changed. Right? On a sad note, when I was at Oral Roberts University, my wife and I, we weren't married, but we were seeing each other, and we went on a canoe ride. And there were two or three groups that were doing these canoe rides. What we didn't realize was that there had been a lot of rain, and that little creek was really flowing strongly. It's actually quite dangerous. And a good friend of mine, he was with another group, and unfortunately, a 19-year-old girl, her canoe tipped over, and she got trapped under a log, and she drowned. And it was terrible. Obviously, we're all young people, and it was just not a good time. And so what happened was there was a memorial service and things, and this girl's mom came to the memorial service, and she began to share, obviously, about how wonderful her daughter was and her dreams and what the Lord had asked, put in her heart to do, and unfortunately none of that was going to take place now. And she said these words, and it just chilled me. And she said, when she was a little girl, and I can't remember, they had two or three kids, she said, I knew from the Lord that one of my children wouldn't live to see their 20th birthday. Now here's the thing, folks. She should have taken that word of wisdom and taken it through the filter of Psalm 91. That says, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. 19 is not long. It's not long enough. She should have interpreted that through the word of God to take action. I don't know. She could have prayed about it. She could have done something. All right. But I don't believe it was just God telling her, your radio is going to be stolen. Take action. When you realize and you ascertain the will of God through the word of God. Amen? All right. So we want this. The Bible says desire for this. Okay. And again, it's not so that people can say, whoa, wow, you're a great predictor. No. In the Bible, so that we can take godly action to see his kingdom purposes go forward in the earth. Okay. I know that before we moved to Lusaka, we didn't even know we were moving to Lusaka. And we were living in South Africa, and Haley and I were at camp meeting in the States. Brother Hagin was ministering. And I think it was during a time of praise and worship. And I had a kind of a, what I would call, just kind of a vision in your mind. Okay, not something that you saw physically. But I saw a campus. And I saw a large church. I saw lots of buildings. And it was beautiful. It was like I was in a helicopter. And I could tell it was Africa. And I knew that. And I remember seeing it, and I was saying, where is that? Where is that? And then, it was just a couple seconds it went away. And I asked the Lord, I said, where is that? And as God sometimes says, nothing. All right? I didn't get an answer. I just, where is that? And so I just kind of, but it just stuck with me. All right? And when we moved here, I realized, you know what? That's what I saw. That's what I saw. Pastor John Nuzzo, when we had our first Sunday opening in this building on May the 17th, 2010, it was a tough season. We were moving out of the old building. We were trying to finish this contractor, this and that. The building wasn't ready. They did the fire inspection on, Tuesday. We moved in on Sunday. And there was a lot of other nonsense going on, and I was really on that. It should have been a happy Sunday for me. I was very discouraged. I was very bummed out, and that's to put it mildly. So I remember sitting right over there, and Pastor John got up here, and he began to share this, And then we talked about it privately. He said, during praise and worship, he said, I had a vision. And I saw this campus completely built out. He said, it was green. And there were buildings everywhere. And then later privately, I said, John, what did it look like? And he began to describe exactly what I saw. And then I described a campus when I had that vision of what I saw. And he said, that's exactly what I saw. It looked exactly like that. What was that? That's a word of wisdom. Through a vision. All right. And it was meant to help. It was meant to comfort. And I was so encouraged. And I told my wife later, I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, even if I'm not here, it's still going to get done. And that's why last week we said this in our vision statement. When we were on stage and different ones were saying different parts of the vision of Miracle Life. And we said, we see a blazing light coming from Lusaka, Zambia. This light is a church named Miracle Life Family Church. We have seen its future brightness with God, literally. It is a future that must come to pass and will come to pass. Why? Because God's seen the end from the beginning. Now, God has seen it, but we have a decision. What's our participation? Okay? Are we going to get the vision and hold on to the vision and push and move towards what God has? All right. Or are we going to sit in the back seat and sleep and let somebody else drive? Some of you will drive on this new parking lot that someone else paid for you. You didn't participate with one kwacha. We love you. And you are welcome. But that's not the best way to do it. I could have used a few more amens right there. Okay. Yeah. Or you can kind of coast, or you can resist. You can fight. All right. And that's obviously not God's will either. All right. So, but when God speaks to us, we need to go. I know many times in Brother Hagin's ministry, where he would say this, and it would be during a service or something like that. And he would say, he would call somebody out and begin to minister to him. And as they were coming, he said, in prayer this afternoon, I saw myself doing this. What was that? It was a glimpse. I saw this part of the service that I'm supposed to do that. And that's happened for me multiple times. Where I went to college at Oral Roberts University, 263 acre campus. And it was just farmland. It was in the middle of nowhere. And God told Oral Roberts, build me a university and found it upon the Holy Spirit. Raise up your students to know my voice. And their work will exceed yours, and in that I'm well pleased. Go where my light is dim, where my power is not known. Okay? So he just began to walk that campus. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, he would give forth utterances in an unknown tongue, and he would interpret them. And as he would do so, God would supernaturally say, this is where the library is supposed to be. This is where a men's dormitory, a woman's dormitory. This is where the food's supposed to be. And today it is there. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I slept in one of the beds. I walked up the stairs. I went into the chapel that he saw by the Spirit. It's brick and mortar. It's metal and glass. It exists today, but it first existed in the mind of God. And it was spoken forth by God. And then a whole lot of people had to do a whole lot of work for it to be accomplished. All right? God has a plan for your life. There's stuff that he knows that you need to know. There might be trouble ahead, like some of these instances in the Bible. He's seen it, and he wants you to take a detour. Amen? But we can't be like the captain of that ship, that we're listening to the wrong voices. We're being influenced in the wrong ways. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen? So let's pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that you said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, thank you that the Holy Spirit was given to the church. And Father, nowhere do we see that he was taken back. He's still here. He's still administering these gifts as he wills. But Father, our heart is your heart. We earnestly desire, Father, to be used to help other people. And Father, if you need to speak through us, like Ananias, we make ourselves available to you. And Father, what you need to speak to us for our future, we're available. Father, and if that would happen in a spectacular way, that's fine with us. Father, if it would happen by an impression, or as Paul said, I perceive something about the future, Father, we'll listen to that as well. Father, if it would be an utterance through another person, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, Father, our heart is focused on you, and we'll listen to you. But Father, our heart is, Lord, tell us what we need to know. May our hearts be sensitive to you. May we live not just with our mind, but with our hearts attuned to you. Father, I pray for every family in this place, Father, for moms and dads and for kids. Father, for kids that are growing up and, Lord, one day will be on their own. Father, may the word of wisdom, oh God, may the word of wisdom be operational in the hearts and minds of moms and dads, even of those children, Father. Lord, where you see fit, give them a glimpse. Give them a word. Show them a fragment of the future so that they can prepare, so that they can be ready. Father, whatever action they need to take. Father, may we have supernatural families at Miracle Life. Supernatural. Show them things to come. Father, for businessmen, businesswomen. Father, Lord, as they serve the community and serve this nation, Lord, I thank you for giving them divine insight. Lord, I believe that men and women who walk in your word and walk in integrity, Father, and are creating jobs and creating hope for people in this nation, Father. Lord, the devil is not happy with that. He's a thief, and he would seek to see that people still be entrapped and enslaved in bondage. Father, help these men and women, Father. Show them, Father, we earnestly desire the best gifts for them to run their businesses. Show them things to come. Show them things to come. Show them things to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's just continue. Let's just lift up our hands to the Lord right now. Let's just lift up our hands to the Lord. Enoch and Belinda, just stand, right? Just stand up. The Lord would say, he has shown you some things. He's already shown you some things, and you know them to be from him. So follow that. But there's more. There's more to see. There's more that you need to see. So don't think that you have everything now because you need more. So keep looking to him and be ready. And be ready when he shows you. And you'll be obedient. And you'll take those steps, and there'll be great rejoicing. Not just in this life, but in the life to come. And there'll be great rejoicing in further generations because of what he'll show you. So be obedient, and it'll be very clear to you. But there's more to come. There's more on the way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, for single people here, Father, for people who are contemplating marriage, God, speak to them. Speak to them, Father. Father, may they see through the fancy suits and the stylish hair. Father, may they see through the impressive jobs and bank accounts. God, show them things to come. And where you're in it, Father, confirm it. And may there be peace in their heart. Oh, and such a satisfaction that this is the right way. Yes, this marriage will last, and this marriage will honor you. But Father, where some are being deceived, oh, we thank you for light, 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 light. Oh, Father, shine your light, shine your light. Help them make decisions in the light, in the light. Thank you, Father. Oh, and when that comes, Father, supernaturally, may they hear, may they hear. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And this is just for some single folks here. Not everyone, but some of you. There is some information and it is light and it is truth, and you're going to get it about your boyfriend or girlfriend. And you won't want to hear it, and you won't want to believe it, but you need to. Walk in the light as children of the light. Oh, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart when the light comes. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Oh, for great days are ahead if you walk in the light. Great days are ahead if you'll walk in the light. But don't stay in that darkness. Don't stay in that darkness. And the Lord would say this, you do what you know to do. What the other person does, that's up to them. That's up to them. And that's their choice. You do the right thing. Oh, and if you do, and as you do, there'll be great grace. Great grace will come upon you. Oh, great grace to do the right thing. So, Father, we thank you for light, light for single people. Thank you, Father, that they walk in that light and they live in that light. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Financial decisions. Some of you are making financial decisions and you don't have enough information. You don't have enough information. Wait, 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 wait. Seek the Lord and he'll show you. Seek the Lord. And when you get that information, the answer will be so clear. It will be so obvious to you what you need to do. But today, there's not enough to see. So wait on the Lord. Seek him and he'll shine the light and he'll show you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, may no one, Father, miss it. May no one, Lord, waste and make bad decisions financially, Father, that'll hurt them and hurt their families. Help them, Lord. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. And I just feel like some of you, and the Lord already showed you this when we were reading in Acts about that captain of the ship. You're just living a far too natural life for God to even be speaking to you. And you've got to take time to listen to the Lord. You got to turn off the TV. And you've got to clear the clutter of your heart and seek him and seek him. Seek him. Some of you need to do what Nineveh did. You need to set aside some time. We are seeking the Lord. We're listening to him. But then you need to live that lifestyle. You need to live that way consistently. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, we just love you today. Let's just thank him right now. Oh, this is because he loves us. This is because of his mercy to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you that you'll give boldness and utterance, Father, to those here among us, Father, that you would seek to speak through, Father, to people in their life, Father, even on a bus, Father, that they would just have an unction to speak forth by the Spirit that which you've shown them. And Father, our heart, Lord, to be used by you is simply to bless and to help others. Father, no, we don't have to brag about it. We don't have to call attention to it. But Father, it's so that you can reveal through us to somebody who needs that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So just some of you be ready. Some of you be ready to let the Lord use you in that way. Let the Lord use you in that way. You don't have to be weird or spooky, but be spiritual and be godly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, we love you today, Lord. We love you so much. We love you so much, Father. We love you. We love you. And just while you're praying and some of you, God's talking to you right now. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, he loves you. And the Bible makes it clear he loves you so much that he gave his only life for you. He died in your place and it wasn't a mistake. But it was in the purpose and plan of God that he became sin, your sin and my sin. And what happened at Calvary was that God allowed Jesus to take all of our judgment that should have been coming to us. And he stood in that place and he drank it all. He received it all. And yet, God raised him from the dead. Sin and death had no place, no part of him. And he raised him up in glory and power. And his new life can be your new life. And when he was raised, you can rise. You can put your faith in him to forgive you and to empower you for the life that he has for you to live. But what is required is for you to believe in your heart and to say, I'm going to quit holding on and trusting to these things that are lies, and I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, you can. The Bible says God's given everyone a measure of faith. You can trust him today. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian. Maybe your life, at one point you knew him, but you turned your back on him, and you can come home today like the prodigal son. You can receive forgiveness. You can receive restoration. But like the prodigal son, he had to come home. He had to make a decision. I'm leaving the pig's food and I'm coming home to my father. You can do that today. Right now, you say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus Christ. I want to come home to him. I want to pray with you. And so that we can pray together, I'd ask you right now, just lift up your hand. Lift it up real, real high. Lift it up. God bless you, sir. Anybody else, say, hey, I want to pray that prayer. I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and my master. I want to follow him for the rest of my life. Anybody else over here, God bless you. Before we pray, we don't want to miss you. We don't want to leave you out. Thank you over here. Thank you, Usher. All right, over here, yes. Let's all stand to our feet before we go today. Let's all stand to our feet. You lifted up your hand. You say, I want to accept Jesus Christ into my heart to be my master and my Lord. If that's you, I want you to grab whatever you brought with you to church and come and meet me up front. We're going to pray a prayer, and your life is going to change today. Today. Let's give them a hand as they're coming. Let's just let them know that we welcome them. Just come. He loves you. It all can change today. God bless you so much. Thank you so much. Anybody else before we pray? All right. Now, this Bible is mine. But if I wanted to give it to you and you didn't have to pay for it, it was going to be a gift, how would you get it, right? You would reach out. And so what God did for you in Jesus Christ is a pure gift. But we must reach out and receive that. So I'd encourage you, just lift up one of your hands. Just come. Amen. Right now, just let's lift up one of our hands to the Lord and let's close our eyes and let's talk to him right now. And just say this with me. Say, God, I believe Jesus is your son. He died in my place. He was punished for me. You raised him from the dead so that I could know you. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn away from every sin, from every wrong thing. I turn to you. I give you my whole life. Thank you, Jesus. I belong to you. I'm in your family. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're so happy. Amen. With the decision that you've made, we have a book that we want to give you. And some folks that want to pray with you. If you would just turn and follow Nellie, we're going to go to a place of prayer right now. Thank you so very, very much. Those of you that are here before we are dismissed, if you have a need in your life, there might be a sickness in your body, something that you would like someone to pray with you about. There are wonderful, trained, godly people here that would like to assist you and help you and pray with you. And so as we dismiss, and people are going that way, you can make your way to the front. And we would love to be able to pray with you and see God's word and his power in action in your life today. All right, let's pray as we go. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you that you are the God of the Bible and you're the God of today. And you are the same God and you speak and you show and you reveal. And so, Father, we choose to be like these wise men and women that we read about today, that heard you, recognized you, and obeyed you. And Father, we choose to be in that group. Father, we make ourselves available, that you are most welcome to speak through our lives and to speak forth anything you need to say to somebody else, Father, so that we can be a blessing and your hand extended to someone that might be in trouble, to someone who might be facing trouble or may be confused, Father. Use our life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed.